From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. Yes, it is true. As you are hearing this, we are in the midst of Amazon's Prime Day, the company's invented summer online shopping holiday. Good for merchants and consumption, and probably mostly good for Amazon. Of course, a lot of people buying electronics from Amazon today won't know immediately how to use or install them. That issue might be getting a new, surprising, if familiar, solution. The company seems to be starting up a service of in-person gadget help, not unlike Best Buy's Geek Squad. Amazon people will come consult for free or install smart home electronics for a price. Jason Del Rey is senior editor at Recode and has been writing about this. Jason, so this started on the West Coast and cities there, but you think there's evidence it could go broader than that?
Yeah, so they're in a bunch of California cities, like you mentioned, and also Seattle, Washington, their hometown of Amazon headquarters. But I also found job listings in places like Las Vegas, Dallas, Texas, Hoboken, New Jersey, Miami, Florida. So it seems like a pretty national rollout is on the horizon.
Why is Amazon doing this?
Two parts. I think smart home devices are one of the fastest growing categories in consumer electronics. Consumer electronics, obviously very important to Amazon's retail business. But at the same time, you know, these things are new to a lot of people, and return rates for this category of electronics is higher than average. And so I think that's playing a piece in this as well.
It's interesting to see this e-commerce giant kind of try to make its services reverse compatible for the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell us about what Amazon is learning as a company?
I don't know if it was Amazon planned all along or whether a recent recognition of the fact that human contact when it comes to shopping and investing in products is still super valuable in certain categories to broad
swath. Not a bad idea.
Yeah. And so, you know, a couple examples here. One is the rollout of Amazon bookstores. I think they had announced maybe 10 years ago. If you would have thought of Amazon, someone told you Amazon was opening its own bookstores, you know, you would have bet a lot of money against that, I think. And then, of course, the agreement to buy Whole Foods. And so, you know, it's super interesting, but I think perhaps we'll see more, even more of that over the next year or two from them.
Jason Del Rey, he's senior editor at Recode. Jason, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, while we're talking about e-commerce and the physical world and where they meet, you ever try to buy something from an online store in China while you're in the U.S. or addressing our English-speaking listeners in China the other way around? It's tricky. Well, this week, a payment startup called Stripe inked a deal that could make it a whole lot less tricky. Stripe helps companies all over the place take payments of all kinds, whether it's plastic or an app, for their goods. And now Stripe merchants can accept payments from two extremely popular Chinese payment companies, Alipay and WeChat Pay. Jordan McKee is principal analyst at 451 Research. Jordan, I get why it's a potentially big deal on paper, but will companies in the U.S. really get Chinese customers?
It remains to be seen, but what we have noted is that Chinese consumers show an increasing thirst for purchasing goods and services cross-border. And what we've noted is that Alipay as well as WeChat Pay are the primary payment options for Chinese consumers and digital channels. And so what will happen is a Chinese consumer will potentially be looking for a product on a U.S. merchant's website, and they won't have a Visa card and they won't have a MasterCard. And that results in a declined, essentially a purchase that cannot happen. With Alipay and WeChat Pay now as payment options, there's a streamlined option for that Chinese consumer that they identify with and they can complete the transaction with.
So it feels like there are border walls coming down here, and technology is really at the center of that. And it's making it easier and easier for us to buy things and sell things across these national borders.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, what we're seeing is that all these emerging commerce players are essentially democratizing access to payment services that previously were only available to the largest of the large merchants.
Is this bad news for credit cards?
It's certainly concerning news. I mean, what we're seeing is that as mobile and digital become more pervasive in the lives of shoppers, they're gravitating towards payment options that have high convenience and high value. And we've continued to see the payment networks and the credit card companies attempt to position themselves squarely at the heart of that opportunity. But certainly there are a number of payment options that circumvent the credit card companies. So if you look at it through the context of just expanded payment options that digital provides, certainly there are increasing threats coming towards the credit card companies as a result of this transition from what was predominantly physical world commerce to now more and more digital world commerce.
What's next? Just more of these kinds of deals or what?
I think that's part of it. I think what we'll continue to see is an expansion of payment options. I also think we'll continue to see some activity around the virtual currency space. So it might not be Bitcoin, but it might be some other type of virtual currency that consumers show an affinity towards because it provides them with either increased security or just increased convenience.
Jordan McKee, he's principal analyst at 451 Research. Jordan, thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This Wednesday, thousands of tech companies, websites, and organizations around the country will be engaging in a day of action. The goal? Try to stop the FCC under President Trump from rolling back the so-called Title II protections of net neutrality. What is net neutrality again? Well, we've been asking people for their analogies. Here's Kate Forsyth, Associate Policy Counsel at Public Knowledge. She used my favorite analogy format, pizza.
Imagine you're in a town with two pizza places, Domino's and Papa John's, and one phone company, AT&T. In a normally functioning free market, if you want to order pizza, you're likely to call whichever pizza place that tastes the best to you or has the best bang for your buck.
And it goes on from there like a math problem. Want more? Yeah, you do. We got a bunch of different analogies at MarketplaceTech.com. And hey, give us yours while you are there. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.